Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Hammy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 531 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden. And this week I am joined via Skype by fight choreographer, actor, Eric Pastel Crosby. And we're going to talk a little sweet science and get a behind-the-scenes look as to what it takes to stage that fight. And in this corner, Cassius Clay, which is the latest offering from Nashville Children's Theater. So we're going to get a night conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Bad credit? No credit? High interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
All right, IDSers, I'm joined by Eric Pastel Crosby, who's working in the play Cassius Clay at the National Children's Theater. He has the role of Joe Morton. Is that what you said?
Joe Martin. You are Joe so
Martin.
Close.
Joe Martin. Forgive me. But it's about Cassius Clay. Joe Martin was the fight coach, right? The boxing coach.
Yeah, he was his boxing coach for most of the beginning of his career. As he got into like how we know him as Muhammad Ali, they kind of had broken up because he went and trained with a black coach. And that kind of was a sticking point for Joe, not that he was black, but that he went to another coach. And they apparently stayed friends from what I can tell, all the way through his career. But that kind of him going and training at another gym kind of pissed him off.
Right. Well, I mean, that probably would, especially if you then noticed how successful he was becoming.
Yep.
Had to have your star pupil go somewhere else. Yeah, that would kind of upset one. So
I would think so.
So you're dealing with, you're a fight choreographer as well, and you've done tons of fights and all that kind of stuff. And part of why I wanted to have you on the show today was I saw the video clip that they had made. Nashville Children's Theater made, and had, where they had you guys, you know, Tony Napo and L, you know, learning the boxing routine, and then they interspliced it with footage, and it struck because in one sense you don't need to know all that, the actual historical fight moves, but at the same time there are some signature sort of fight things that each boxer has. No.
Yes.
Would you say that?
The biggest thing that we tried to do, like the script that Idris gave us, has a great little. I always love the italicized words in the script, aka stage directions, because sometimes they're not written by the playwright. Sometimes they are. Usually, I disregard them, which is a terrible thing to say on record, but. But in this particular instance, the third round of the last fight, he specifically asks whoever's choreographing it to condense the third round into that part. Mm. And I did as much as I could. I mean, we can't condense it in, like, speed it up or take all the... So what I did is I took specific things that they either repeated... Or stylistically, like, how we think of modern boxing, they didn't box that way at all back then. Their hands weren't up covering their face, which is tradition, is like modern how they teach boxing. And in fact, Muhammad Ali and Cassius Clay in particular, I mean, his hands were almost down in like an old bare knuckle boxing stance. but I tried to like incorporate that. He didn't do his famous Ali shuffle in the Olympic match until the very end of the match when he knows he's winning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to, Deontay desperately wanted to do it. And I was like, no, you have to save it to this moment because we all know that it's an iconic little dance move.
Mm.
We can't give it to them at the beginning because he's not really there yet. So it's little things like that. Like I tried to mimic, there's this weird thing that they do in the fight. And I know it's because it's an Olympic game to get points, but they keep punching. This may be too technical, a thing, but they consistently like punch at the other person's glove and then punch at their chest. And if you watch the full fight, like they do that all through the fight. They just have this, it's literally just a 1-2 jab cross, but it goes like to the glove, I think, to distract them. And then the way I understand it, it seems to me that it's a cross to hit them in the joint's chest to get points. Mm. I combined both those words right there. That's what it looks like to me. So we tried to incorporate as much of that as possible. Mainly because the script said that, and also because John Royal, our director, really wanted, it to be as close as possible. Because we also had the benefit of Deontay has a really nice long reach, just like Cassius did.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to get that like nice long lines on all the punches, that he got. And he like, Cassius also had this very distinct thing of he would put his head in danger. He enjoyed sort of being in that danger zone where he had to duck more often than block. And so we tried to sort of play with that. Because it does come back to bite him in the first round of that Olympic fight. In the first round. And in the second, it starts to kind of come back to bite him, and then he realizes he's got to marry the two of dodging and getting out of distance.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to incorporate. It's hysterical how much like fight footage and looking at technique that goes on for it's probably 30 seconds of fighting in the show.
Right.
The third round is probably about 30 to 45 seconds long.
Right.
Which we all think of as like, that's no time. But if you've ever had to work out on a minute schedule, you're like, a minute is a very long time.
Right.
And you have to do push-ups the whole time.
Right. So you do any speed bed work or anything like that, you realize this is going on a long while. But so also, I mean, granted, this is kind of a props thing and a custom thing. But, I mean, the gloves have changed, haven't they, over the years?
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, I'm still here. The basic concept of the gloves, haven't they changed over the years? Or are they basically the same thing?
Well, they have, actually. Technology is... We actually had an issue because we wanted to do... There's two sequences where he's doing mitts with Joe. And modern-day mitts look like space-age. Like they look like something from the future.
Mm.
If you go to a boxing gym right now, they just look like some like space age thing. And they really just were glorified mittens back in the day.
Mm.
And you can't really buy them. There's not a place to buy them that look period. So we basically, our props master, Rachel, just made these, what ended up being just these big leather mittens that I'm wearing. So we did those. We bought some modern gloves, and then we painted them to look aged.
Mm-hmm.
Because boxing gloves style wise hasn't really changed.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to pad it has. So there's a lot of like, we basically got them gloves early so that they would wear them in so they're not stiff. Because
right.
A modern glove looks super stiff. And she painted it so it looks even more worn out, which is great. Patricia Tabor did a great job, and Randy Green, of aging these gloves and the uniforms and all that to make it look period. Otherwise, they're from the boxing gym that I work, Title Boxing Nashville. was very helpful with us getting stuff. Yeah. Well, I got to. I work there, you know. I ain't no fool. Like blatant modern gloves.
Right. Now, how
if that answers your question.
It does. Now, how does the fight, is it just the one fight, or is it, are they sparring in between through the play?
There is a little bit. There's a fight between his hometown bully Corky Baker. That's probably about a minute or two in a boxing match, and then John decided the second match against his first match against Ronnie O'Keefe. It's a silhouette where Tony Nappo is behind a curtain doing a silhouette fight, and Cassius talks us through how he did how he fought that match. Gotcha. Down front.
Gotcha.
It's a cool little visual thing, and it's great from a fight choreography standpoint. Not that I still had to choreograph the fight. It's just split and they're both facing a different direction. But it does a great job of, it's an argument I have quite frequently with directors where they're like, I want a 6 minute fight downstage. And I'm like, no one's going to pay attention for 6 minutes. You can't watch two people beat each other up for 6 minutes without breaks in the action.
Right.
It's just too long.
Cause no fight in life goes 6 minutes.
No. If you've had the misfortune of being around one in real life, it's over before it starts. You're kind of confused as to what happened. I know he's hurt because he looks like it.
Yeah.
But John's idea to make it a silhouette fight, sort of, so to speak, which sounds, it's infinitely cooler than I'm selling it, but, it breaks up the action so that you get, I also think it hammers home the good work that Idris did with the script about how he, because that particular fight, he describes how he wins mm-hmm. the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be weird in the middle of the fight for him to step out and go, and then I just had this moment right. of realization how to right. beat this guy up.
Yeah.
When he's right in the middle of it.
Right. The frozen tapping thing wouldn't work. Yeah.
I mean, it works great for the movie. Sure. They've got voiceover and the ability to slow and speed up the fight. So, right. and to literally pause time. We don't have that capability.
Right. Right.
So there's two big fights. There's a couple little skirmishes, hits between brothers and friends in the fight. But it's 60 minutes of action. Like, the guy, Deontay, playing, Cassius, sorry, I keep flipping the names on you. That he doesn't leave the stage. I think he leaves probably for 20 seconds in a 60-minute show.
Wow.
He's either talking, boxing, working out, or running around. Like, there's no in between.
Right. And so I guess part of that leads me to the question is then, Do they have time to get gloves on and all that kind of stuff? Or is it just quick change?
Some of the quick changes happen on stage. Mm-hmm. Two of them, we fight with getting gloves on and off. He's added a great little ad lib. Come on, Joe! When I can't get his glove on because we're trying to go so fast. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we basically got them laced up so they fit on his hand as quickly as possible. But they are boxing gloves. They're not meant to slide on and off real easily.
You wouldn't want them to, I don't think, in actuality.
No. Oh, goodness, no.
But so does he get the whole wrap-up and tape and all that kind of stuff?
No, we don't. We had talked about, like, I would have loved to have had, like, moments where he's talking, where he's, like, wrapping up his hands. I just think that's a great. I mean, if you watch any boxing movie, that's, like, the iconic.
Right. That's like the solemn moment. Yeah, between trainer and boxer is that check the hands out. Yeah.
Yeah. But honestly, the script is so lean, there's not really spot for that. There's not really plot-wise time for that. And which I kind of dig, to be honest, because it condenses everything you need to see and hear, It puts you right in the action before you even know it's about to happen, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And so so the basic scope of the play then is the early years of Cassius Clay? Is that...
Yep. It's him. John, I think, put it best. He's like, we are creating a resistor. This is the beginning of the... This is laying the groundwork for what would be Muhammad Ali. So it's, as you lead this play, you basically are, you are pretty sure you just saw what's going to push him on that journey, of becoming the resistor, the political and, fight figure that we know him to be.
Okay.
That history writes about him as, and they don't, you know, this part is usually the footnote. Does that make sense?
Yes, because what comes after is so much larger than,
yeah,
than the exactly. impetus. Yeah. Okay.
And I think what makes that... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish your thought.
I was just going to say that's why I think it's such an interesting play for kids, is to watch this child grow to be how we all know him as the icon, but to realize like he started out in what could be similar situations to anyone in the audience.
Right. Right. And the fact that he was from Louisville, right? It's not it's not
3 hours away.
Yeah. And it's not some foreign, like, it's not, you know, born on the mean streets of New York or, you know, out in the hills of California. I mean, you know, it seems like it's
exactly.
It gives him a more rounded sort of humble beginnings, which I think a lot of us could relate to personally. So I say, how long do you guys run?
We are all the way till next Sunday, all the way to the 12th.
Outstanding.
12th of March.
And we get tickets by going to?
NashvilleTheater.org.
NashvilleChildrensTheater.org. Right?
Yes. Sorry, yes. I left that word, an important word out.
Well, you
twice
got,
I failed on you with the tickets there.
And, well, you know, 50%, you get your one plug in pretty good. So I don't know, psychologically, I don't know what you're telling me here about what you'd rather... Which you value
I'd
more?
Box than work, yo.
All right, cool. Well, thanks so much, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
Well, I'd like to thank actor, fight choreographer Eric Pastor Crosby for chatting with me today via Skype about And In This Corner, Cassius Clay, and the sweet science involved and the staging of said sweet science. Ticket information that we discussed in the body of this podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @ inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for our show via the Twitter feed. So next week, I'm very excited. Next week is our St. Patrick's Day special. So make sure you put on your green and pinch those who don't wear green and have a safe time. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at Magnatune.com. That's Magnatune. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.